morning's first lesson comes from the 103rd Psalm, verses 1 through 13. Please listen for the word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our inequities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As father has a compassion for children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. Our second reading comes from the second chapter of Mark, verses 13 through 22. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunken cloth on an old garment, otherwise the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, John. Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. It was New Year's Eve at an exclusive club. Two friends were out celebrating the coming new year in fine fashion when the one friend asked the other to settle his differences with a third man. The two men had a terrible quarrel in the past year, and the first man thought that the new year was a great time to, as they say, let bygones be bygones. "You must reconcile with that man," the first said to the second. "It is very unkind of you to be unfriendly, especially at this time of year. Go over there now and wish him a happy new year." So the second man got up, and he walked over to where that third man, the man that he had a quarrel with, the man that he had stopped talking with, was sitting. And there he spoke to his enemy and said, "I wish you a happy new year, but just one." There is nothing like the change of the years to prompt changes in one's life. If only we could let go of the past year. And that seems often to be the biggest barrier to improving in the new year. Our passage from the Gospel of Mark this morning helps us to understand why. As we enter the new year, which is already more than 3 weeks old, I thought I might explore the concept of new in scriptures. And one of the passages that leapt out to me was this one from Mark, where Jesus tells the Pharisees and his disciples this at the end of our passage. "No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." I mentioned a couple weeks ago that the New Testament has two Greek words translated as new in English. One of those words, neos, refers to the time element of something new, such as the new year, coming after the old year. The other word, kainos, refers to something completely different, original, fresh, or new. This is the word that is used here in Mark. It is helpful to realize that Jesus mentioning new wine and new wineskins, he is referring to something that is fresh, unused, not recycled. It is also helpful to understand this passage if we realize that in the time of Jesus, there was no refrigeration. So any liquids that were kept had to be fermented or they would go bad. Therefore, wine was very much a part of everyday life in Jesus' time. The alcohol in the wine killed any germs that might be bred in unfermented juices. Second thing to understand is that they did not have bottles to carry the wine from here to there. Instead, they used leather pouches or wineskins. When these wineskins were new, they were supple and flexible, but as they became older, they lost their flexibility and elasticity and became brittle and hard. This of itself was not a problem. It was only a problem when you put new wine, that is, wine that is still fermenting, into an older wineskin. The fermenting wine emitted gases, and the gases would cause the wineskins to expand. A new wineskin with the supple leather would expand with the gases. But the older wineskins, which were stiff and unpliable, would burst at the seams, or the leather would crack. And either way, the wineskin would be ruined and the wine lost as it spilled out. So what we have from Jesus is a simple illustration that everyone there would understand. Old wineskins were for older wine. New wineskins were for new wine. Jesus, of course, was speaking of the new life that his believers had and the new faith that they were experiencing. And he was explaining to the Pharisees that why this new faith was so different from the old, so fresh. And the message was clear. It is time to let go of the old and embrace the newness that Jesus was offering. Which is easier said than done. Particularly hard for the Pharisees, and I think hard for us today. We have now left 2022 and entered 2023. A new year. And yet many of us are still holding on to some old wineskins from the previous year. And if we are to embrace the new possibilities of this year, if we are to embrace the newness of faith that Jesus offers us, we might need to get rid of some old wineskins. And what are some of those wineskins that we might be still carrying around? Some came to mind. The first that came to mind was what I'll call the wineskin of resentment. As the new year stretches out in front of us like an unmarked page, it might be good for us to take the time to sharpen our pencils before we leave our mark. One of those dull pencils would be the resentments we hold from the past. I do think resentments are dangerous for Christians, and there is no place for them within the grace that God has given us. One of our greatest presidents, Abraham Lincoln, was Abraham Lincoln. It was said of him, his heart was as great as the world, and where there's not room in it for the memory of a wrong. Think about that, not room in it for a memory of a wrong. Lincoln demonstrated that truth about him in his second inaugural address, in which he sought to heal the wounds of the Civil War by saying, "With malice towards none and charity for all," an expression that it was now time to set aside all the issues that brought about the war and begin the process of binding the nation back together. Lincoln would not let the resentments of the war guide the future of the nation, and we can use the new year to the same end. If someone did something to offend you last year, now might be the time to let it go. If someone said something that insulted you last year, now might be the time to forget about it. Of course, what this is about is forgiveness. As Jesus tells us in Mark 11:25, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father may also forgive you. Forgive those against whom you hold resentments and open up yourself to the possibilities that this will bring. Hold on to the old wineskin of resentment, and the future will be filled with bitterness. As one proverb goes, speak well of your enemies. After all, you made them. But resentment is not the only old wineskin we carry into the new year. Another one I thought of was the wineskin of worry. I am sure that to one degree or another, we bring our worries of the old year into the new. Somebody once said, worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through our minds. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Interesting image, isn't it? Has that ever happened to you? You start worrying about something and pretty soon you discover that it has consumed all your other thoughts. It has been said that worry has killed more people than work. I don't know if that's true, but worry does eat at us. It takes away our ability to enjoy the present. Too often, we are like the old man who said, "I always feel bad when I feel good, because I know that I'll feel bad after a while." Worry does that to us. There are two types of things to worry about. Things we can change and things that we are not able to change. So take the worrying energy and address it to that first group, and turn the second group over to God. If you need some perspective on worry, notice this, that in the Bible, the word worry is mentioned 13 times. Of those 13 times, 11 of them we are told not to worry. Of the other two, one asks the question, "Why do you worry?" And the other says, "Tomorrow will worry about itself." Worry is an old wineskin, and it drags us, and it keeps us from enjoying the new wine of today's faith. A third wineskin might be the wineskin of failure. Too many people are paralyzed by the fear of failure. Past failures weigh us down and keep us from moving forward. Nobody likes to fail. I know that. But some people try to escape from not failing by not even trying, which in itself is a form of failure. Every endeavor comes with the possibility of failure. Failure is part of life, and rather than avoided, it should be expected. For it is out of our failures that we learn what won't work and what will work. But so often we let the failures of the past prevent us from taking action in the future. Churches are notorious for this, often saying, "We tried that and it didn't work," without ever trying to figure out why it didn't work. We're like that cat that American humorist Mark Twain talked about. He said he had a cat that once sat on a hot radiator. It never sat on a hot radiator again. It also never sat on a cold radiator again. We can make this year successful by learning from our failures of 2022 and then striking out onto new things of 2023, even though some of them will fail as well. Now, I am sure that there are other old wineskins that you and I are carrying around, but getting rid of them is only part of the task. We also need to add this new wine to our new wineskins. It is not enough to let go of the past. We need to grab onto the faith that God promises us. God has great things in store for each of us, and we need to hold on to our faith and let God lead us into this wonderful new year. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, "I am still not all that I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." A good message for the new year. Amen.